Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. My name is Jewel Strowman, and I just wanted to talk today a little bit about Child Protective Services Agency and the corruption that is going on within Child Protective Services Agency as well as within family courts. My case specifically attracted media attention in 2012 when my daughter was removed from my care for medical neglect after I failed to take her to a doctor's appointment. And so my case was publicized. I contacted the media, and the case itself was publicized in the Afro-American newspaper as well as on Channel 9 News. I've been doing a lot of research lately and interesting stories. One in particular is about a United States senator based out of Georgia, and her name, I can't pronounce her last name. I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong, but her name is Nancy. I think her last name is Schreifer, Nancy Schreifer. And she was a United States senator in Georgia. And basically what ended up happening was a grandmother who was trying to get custody of her grandchildren from the state of Georgia, from Child Protective Services, ended up contacting this senator, Miss Nancy Schreifer. And that's how Ms. Schreifer ended up, I guess, being introduced to the world of, as it relates to Child Protective Services and foster care placement. And so what basically ended up happening is basically the senator was horrified. She was horrified at what she was seeing. She started talking to other parents who have had their children wrongfully removed, and she just felt compelled. She just felt like she had to do something. So she launched her own investigation into a nationwide investigation into Child Protective Services. And what she uncovered was shocking, and a lot of people believe that it cost her life. She wrote a report, a detailed report about her findings, and she sent it to the Attorney General of the state of Georgia. And shortly after she did this, she lost her seat in the Senate. Okay, and she talked publicly about the fact that she felt like, you know, this was done clearly out of retaliation, and, you know, basically the state was punishing her for speaking so publicly and advocating for the rights of parents. So she lost her seat in the Senate, and what she started doing after that was just, you know, continuing with her investigation, and basically she started her own campaign on behalf of parents all over the world. And during the course of her investigation, she discovered a lot of things that were going on within Child Protective Service Agency. She discovered that there was an underground sex trafficking ring that was going on within CPS all over the world, and that a lot of social workers and other high-ranking government officials were a part of this, where children, foster care children, were actually being sold into other countries. It was basically a business of sex trafficking, and these children were being sold into other countries and basically were disappearing from foster homes, and no one was even bothering to report that these children were missing. Okay, so she uncovered all of this corruption that was going on so many levels, and it was shocking to her because it went way beyond just the social workers themselves. Like I said before, it involved high-ranking politicians. It involved judges. It involved, you know, people within Congress. A lot of people stood to gain financially off of this movement. And so she was so shocked and appalled at what she was finding out and what she was uncovering that she actually started working on a documentary. And in this documentary, she started interviewing people that work in the government and interviewing families and, you know, basically introducing and showing the evidence that she had compiled during the course of this investigation. And basically what ended up happening was, I want to say let me backtrack, first of all. While this was going on, like while she was, you know, getting all this evidence together and while she was working on her documentary, a lot of other things were also going on in her life. She started to receive death threats. She started using throwaway cell phones because she felt like her home phone had been wiretapped by the government. So what ended up happening is that 3 weeks before this documentary was set to be released to the public, Ms. Schreisner was found dead in her home. And the media, they are the ones that actually started to say that this was a murder-suicide. And basically what the media was saying was that, you know, Ms. Schreisner's husband had killed her and then he had shot himself. And so the police also allegedly determined that this was a murder-suicide. So this was, you know, determined basically to be a murder-suicide. But a lot of speculation arose out of this, and a lot of people felt like her death was really suspicious because of the fact that it happened so close to this release of her documentary. And I just want to reiterate and remind people that this documentary she was getting ready to release was serious, okay, and it put her directly in the line of fire. And it was serious because she was basically getting ready to expose corrupt judges. She was getting ready to expose corrupt congressmen. She was getting ready to expose a lot of people in high places who were all allegedly a part of this sex trafficking ring that is going on nationwide within Child Protective Services. And so she was getting ready to expose this, and she was also getting ready to expose a lot of other things that were going on within Child Protective Services itself. And a lot of people in high places did not want this documentary to come out. Okay. So this woman, a lot of people felt like, and there was a lot of speculation that this woman was most likely murdered. Okay, she was killed by the government, and it was covered up by the government and made to look like it was a murder-suicide. Her case is really intriguing to me, and I've done a lot of research on it. I've been, you know, I've listened to a lot of her YouTube videos. I've Googled a lot of articles about her. I've read a lot of interviews that she did with magazines. I've listened to a lot of her radio interviews. And for me, it was just really amazing to me the extent of the corruption within not only Child Protective Services, but family court. There's another gentleman I want to talk about probably on my next segment. I'll get more in-depth into him. But his name is Carlos. And he's another one that I cannot pronounce the last name. I think it's Morale. And he is actually a former Child Protective Services investigative worker. And he basically is now an advocate for parents. And so, you know, he basically blew the whistle on the corruption that was going on within Child Protective Services in the state where he was living at the time, which was Texas, and he talked about how a lot of these children are being taken out of safe and loving homes and basically thrown into foster care. And the incentive for this, it all leads back to money, okay? People have to realize that the more children that the state can place into foster care, the more revenue that generates for the state. There is an act that Congress passed, and I'm not exactly sure about the name of the act, but I believe it's called the Child Adoption and Families Act or something like that. And basically what that act does is that it sets a certain amount. Okay, once Child Protective Services reaches a certain amount of adoption, then at that point they qualify to receive payouts from the government for every child that they successfully are able to get adopted. And so what Mr. Morales and what Ms. Schlafer were talking about was basically the fact that, you know, basically they're getting paid to kidnap children, put them in foster care, and then get these children adopted. They are getting, the state is getting money, they're getting paid to do this. And this is why it's going on. But Ms. Schreifner went a whole lot deeper into it than what Mr. Morales did. Like, he, you know, he's scratching the surface of it, but she went really deep into it. And for that, it cost her her life. It's just so interesting to me, you know, because a lot of people really don't, they don't know the truth behind Child Protective Services in America, and they don't know how detrimental Child Protective Services can actually be, and they don't know, you know, how family court works. And a lot of these judges, and this is something else that Mr. Morales talked about, is that a lot of these family court judges, they work hand in hand with the CPS workers, okay? So when you go in family court, current, you need to know that it's not set up towards honoring the rights of the parent. There's an assumption in family court. In the words of Mr. Morales, as he said, there's an assumption, and the assumption is that you are guilty until proven innocent, which basically means that the social workers can come in court and they can make any kind of allegation they want, and they can say anything they want to say, and they don't necessarily have to have any proof. And 9 times out of 10, the judge is most likely to side with the social worker over siding with the parent. Another thing that Mr. Morales talked about is the fact that, it was really amazing and shocking to him that, you know, a lot of these workers were able to come into people's home with no court order and remove children. Now, the law states that Child Protective Services workers have to have court orders before they remove a child, but there is one exception to this rule, and the exception to this rule is that if they feel like a child is in immediate danger, then they can go ahead and, you know, remove the child out of the home immediately without any kind of court order or anything like that. And so that is a major concern for a lot of parents, and it's a major concern, you know, for a lot of family advocates, because a lot of these unjustifiable removals are taking place before parents even get to court. They're taking place, you know, when the social workers come into the home, and then they can say, well, you know, it's a pile of dirty laundry or it's dishes in the sink, this home is filthy, we're going to remove these children. And they can immediately do that. And you have to have a court hearing within, I believe, it's, every state is different. Some states is within the first 48 hours. Some states is within the first 72 hours. But the point is that, you know, your child can easily be taken from you and you don't even get to have the hearing until 3 or 4 days later to actually, you know, go in front of the judge and have, and let the judge have the final say so. So I guess the whole point of me developing this show was to empower parents, but to also expose what is going on within the system, the amount of corruption that is going on within the system. It's being, you know, grossly ignored by the media. And I was shocked to find this out. A lot of the media is not reporting this. It's almost like people don't even really care about what's going on. I think that a lot of people naturally assume that, you know, if your child gets taken away from you, it must be because you're unfit, or it must be because you're a bad parent. But statistics show that that's not the case, and that a lot of children are being removed nationwide, all over the world, And a lot of these removals are questionable. A lot of these removals are unjustifiable. And basically you have a situation going on now where a lot of the social workers are just taking these children for whatever reason under the sun that they decide to. And no one is being held accountable for these actions. And then you have these children who go into foster care, and they're traumatized even worse in foster care than they were when they were with their parents. I know that we have all heard, you know, all of the horror stories of children in foster care who have gotten molested, children in foster care who have gotten abused, you know, and all of those things. So there's a lot of horrific things that go on within foster care. I watched a segment on YouTube early this morning, and the lady's name, let me get this paper. Her name is Tammy Stefiano, and she's the head of the NSCC based out of Los Angeles, California. And, you know, she talked about a lot of things that were going on within Child Protective Services nationwide, and she just opened my eyes to so many things. But being a mother that's experienced this firsthand, I think my goal now is to try to empower other parents with knowledge, you know, so that you don't have to go through what I went through, and if you do have to go through it, you are equipped with the tools to be able to know what to do and what not to do. But again, a lot of people assume that you're a bad parent if your child is removed. And they don't, and you know, I used to think that way too until my experience with Child Protective Services, and then that changed my whole way of thinking once my daughter actually got caught up in the system back in 2012, and I actually had a chance to talk to other parents. And, you know, to go to the law library and do my research on other cases, I was horrified at what was going on. But it's so much deeper than a lot of us even think. And I think that that's the reason why Nancy Streifner ended up losing her life, basically, because she, you know, was on a campaign to expose a lot of people and to expose a lot of corruption that was going on within the government. And she lost her life. And it's just so tragic to me, and it's so sad because you don't get too many politicians who actually really care. This lady lost her seat in the Senate because she cared so much. You understand? It cost her seat in the Senate, and she didn't care about that. And senators make a lot of money. She didn't care about that. She cared about exposing the truth. She cared about helping families, and she cared about righting a wrong. And it cost her life. So her story just really, you know, just really affected me, and it touched me in a deep place. Because I knew that it was a lot of corruption going on within Child Protective Services, but I never knew that it was going on such a widespread and drastic level. And so, you know, it's just amazing to me. But, you know, again, what I'm doing now is just trying to work with families. Ever since I exposed Child and Family Services Agency in D.C., they have come after me for years trying to, you know, create reasons to remove my children, and they were always unsuccessful in all of their attempts. And in their latest attempt, they charged me with educational neglect because my daughter was being homeschooled, and they opened up a case on me, and basically allowed my daughter to remain in my care under protective supervision. But when I failed to attend a court hearing, the protective supervision was then revoked by the judge because she said that the mother's not here, the mother's not able to sign this order, and so I have to commit her child into foster care. And what really shocked me in this case is that even the social workers were adamantly protesting against this, and they were telling the judge, listen, can you just let the mother come in tomorrow to sign the court order so she can keep her daughter in her custody, because we don't want her daughter to have to come into care. But the judge refused to do that. So, you know, right now I'm once again basically in a legal battle, I guess you could call it, with Child Protective Services Agency, trying to fight on behalf of my daughter, who has not yet been removed, but only because I have basically refused to overturn her, and they are now threatening me with jail time, you know, all of these other crazy things. And so I started two petitions. I've arranged a meeting with Bowser. Like, it's a lot of things that I'm doing. I've contacted people within the media, and the media has reached out to D.C. Child and Family Services Agency, as well as the family court judge in this case. Now, but having been through this before and having been successful in exposing them, I'm a seasoned vet now. Like, I know what to do. I know how to expose what's going on. But a lot of other parents who are caught up in this, they don't know what to do. A lot of people, this is their first time, they don't know what to do. But I will say this, CPS workers are not your friend. And it's the same thing that Carlos Morales said. And remember that he's the gentleman that used to be a former CPS worker, and he's now an advocate against Child Protective Services. And I just encourage people to look at his videos on YouTube, because he's such a great, you know, resource. But on the next segment, we will talk more about CPS. We'll actually dig into police brutality, and there's a lot of other things that I want to touch base on, but I just thank those of you who have tuned in, and I ask support from the public in getting this petition signed. And just arm yourself with knowledge. Remember that knowledge is power. Once you have knowledge, they can't take that away from you. So arm yourself with knowledge. Know what to do, know what not to do, and understand that as a parent, you do have rights, regardless of the situation. You do have rights. FightCPS.com is a great site for parents to visit. And so I encourage parents to visit this site. But again, on my next segment, I will be talking about police brutality, as well as Child Protective Services, and more about Mr. Carlos Morales. So I thank all of you for tuning in. Have a blessed and safe morning. God is love.